Good evening, and welcome once again to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM, San Francisco Bay Area. I'm the host of Your Legal Rights, Jeff Hayden. Sometimes you realize you need to do things a little differently. We're doing that tonight. And our guest is talking about doing things a lot differently. We're here tonight to talk about the way that we resolve disputes, whether it's between neighbors or whether it's between large corporations or anything in between. We have a very expensive system of litigation. It costs a fortune and takes lots of time to resolve some of these business disputes. And my guest has answers. Joining me tonight is Richard Grossman. Richard was a very successful litigator. He has litigated such cases, whether it's complex business litigation or unfair competition or fraud or antitrust or contract disputes or trade secrets. The list goes on and on. As a trial lawyer, he's had a phenomenal amount of success and came to the realization something is wrong. And at that point, he came up with the idea of a better way to go. And that's our discussion tonight. Without further ado, Richard Grossman, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for that very kind introduction.
We were talking a lot before going on air tonight, and we talked about intelligent justice that you created. What is intelligent justice?
Intelligent Justice is a nonprofit that I created to advocate for a new innovative system of justice, a new system for resolving legal disputes, large legal disputes, small legal disputes, involving private parties. So these would be disputes, a contract dispute, a trademark dispute, an employment dispute, a marital dispute, legal disputes that would otherwise go to court to be resolved. But I came up with an alternative system that is far less costly, much, much faster, and much more reliable than our court system presently is.
We're going to go into that in some detail. I would like to talk with you about why you made that change and why you think it's a better way to go. But I also want to extend an invitation to our listeners, that's you, our most important guest, to call in. We'd like your ideas. We'd like your feedback. We'd like your questions. You can reach us, as always, at 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. If you're outside the San Francisco Bay Area, call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. Again, that's 866-798-8255. You're welcome to talk to us about anything, about how the system currently works, what's wrong with the system, this alternative model, which has tremendous promise. And you don't have to join us at the very moment that we may be in our conversation. So give us a call. And I wanted to ask you about how, before we go into the details about this new system, talk about the common system that everybody's using.
Well, the usual system that is utilized to decide legal disputes is our public courts. There are federal courts and there are state courts, but all of them cost too much. All of them require too much time to resolve disputes, and all of them involve tremendous risk of an unjust outcome. As you pointed out, I spent decades litigating cases of all types, both large and small. And I did fine. In fact, the lawyers almost always do fine. But my clients, even when we won everything that they wanted, did not come out as well. Why? Because the cost of pursuing a just outcome in our court system often approaches or exceeds the benefit of obtaining it. Think about that. The cost of pursuing justice often approaches, gets close to, or it exceeds the benefit of actually getting the justice that you were seeking, whether you're the defendant or whether you are the plaintiff, the claimant. And the time required to obtain a final court decision often doesn't justify the benefit of obtaining it. It takes a minimum of a couple of years in court. And in our court system, it often takes up to 5 years to go to trial. After appeals and retrials, I've had cases that went 8 years, 14 years. And yes, we got tremendous results in each of those cases. But the cost and time involved was far too much to justify the effort. And then the risk...
I'm sorry, finish your thought.
Yeah, I was just going to say the risk of an unjust outcome is far too high. People settle cases. In fact, 95% of all cases that go to our court system get settled out of court. Why? Because the cost is too high to keep going. The time required and the effort required to get to a final decision takes far, far too long. And the risk of an unjust outcome, the risk that it may be decided against you, even though you are in the right, is far too high. And so what do people do? They settle. And they settle for either if they're the defendant and they deserve to win, they settle by paying more than they should. If they're the plaintiff, the claimant, they settle for less than they deserve. Because to reach a settlement in our court system, both sides have to compromise, even the side that deserves to win. That's not justice, and I decided I had to come up with a better way of doing it.
We had a caller call in a moment ago, did not want to be heard on the air, but did want me to ask you a question. And as I'm phrasing the question, it seems to be a good opportunity to not only give him an answer, but if he wants to know if it applies or can be applied to probate. And I think that also gives you an opportunity, if you believe it should apply or could be applied to probate, give us a concrete idea about what that would look like.
Well, it would have to involve a dispute. So, for example, if there was a dispute about the meaning of a provision in a will, and the daughter and the son of the person that passed away have a dispute over what they're each entitled to under the terms of their mother's will, if that dispute would otherwise go to court to be decided, then yes, we could decide that case. And we could decide virtually any, what's referred to as a civil legal dispute. So nothing involving criminal matters, because legal matters involve the state or the federal government, and they have to go to the public courts. But anything that is a private dispute between two parties can be decided through the system.
When I Googled the phrase intelligent justice, I found references to this model. But if you keep scrolling down, I started getting interesting results about the idea of applying AI to the legal system. With increased computing power around the corner, with AI coming to bear, is this the best direction to go, you think, to resolve legal disputes?
Well, AI is a tool. It's like a hammer. It's useful for driving nails, but it doesn't build the house. It doesn't decide what the house should look like or what your preferences are. It's a tool, and it will be increasingly used in the legal profession to expedite work that lawyers have had to do manually for a very, very long time. But that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about, my system, is a system that is designed to expedite the decision-making process, how we're going to decide a case more reliably, more expertly, at much lower cost, and with much less time involved. And we're going to talk about the details of that in a moment, and not to get ahead of ourselves, but my system involves the use of a neutral, what we refer to as an adjudicator, a judge who is neutral, that is selected by the parties. And we'll talk more about how that works in a few moments. But that adjudicator does the investigation of all the facts, does the research of the law. And that work will be expedited by the use of AI for purposes of finding the relevant case law, for purposes of reviewing the relevant documents to see if there are key words in there that will provide evidence in the case. But AI cannot, in my view, reliably decide cases on behalf of two parties in dispute.
So we have some traditional and less traditional means of resolving these disputes. I'd like to walk through a little bit to distinguish them. One of them is your model of comprehensive adjudication, but other ones that people may not know about are litigation, traditional public court litigation, arbitration, and mediation. And I'd like to talk to you about the differences between some of these things. Let's start with comprehensive adjudication. That's your system. When do things get really rolling in that system?
Well, the way it works is this. In our system, in order to save time, cost, and risk, we propose that instead of each of the parties hiring separate lawyers whose purpose is just to battle one another until they finally get to court 3-5 years later, the parties instead jointly interview candidates to be their judge. We call them adjudicators. Those adjudicators will be neutrals. They'll be people that have been selected by the parties jointly to be neutral, who have expertise in the particular area of law that's in dispute. If it's a trademark dispute, if it's a contract dispute, if it's an employment dispute, they will be experienced litigators in those particular areas of law. And so you start with someone who has expertise in the area of law that is both going to investigate the facts, research the law, and then decide the dispute for you. And they do the work of both sides' attorneys, and the adjudicator does the work of the judge, all of it. And it's all done by a neutral adjudicator. And there are tremendous benefits to doing it that way that I'm sure we'll talk about down the road. The primary benefit is we can guarantee that the cost of getting to a final decision will be half or less the cost of going to court to decide the same dispute. The time required, we can guarantee, will be half or less the time that's required to get a final court decision in the public court system. And the risk of an unjust outcome will be much, much less because you have an expert who's both investigating the law, the facts, and then deciding the dispute. Deciding the dispute, someone who's neutral, who's looking hard, zealously looking for all the law and facts that support the claimant, and just as zealously looking for all the law and facts that support the defendant, and then deciding the dispute.
But don't you get a neutral judge and an expert judge in the state court system or the federal court system?
We like to think that judges are neutral, and I think for the most part they are. But we also have judges that have been appointed that are partisans, and we've seen some of that recently with the judicial appointments that have been made by various public leaders. For the most part, I think judges do try to be neutral, but sometimes they are partisan. But the other thing is this: even the most neutral judge does not necessarily have expertise in the particular area of law. If you have an employment dispute, you might get a judge that spent her entire career litigating patent cases before she became a judge. If you have a if you have an antitrust dispute, you might get a judge who spent his entire career litigating marital disputes, or vice versa. Perhaps you have a marital dispute that otherwise would go to court, but you get a judge that only has done copyright cases in litigating before they became judges. And so their area of expertise is not necessarily the area of law that's in dispute. And so the attorneys in those circumstances do the best they can to educate the judge on the particular area of law and the law that applies to the particular case. But particularly in complicated cases and complicated specialties, that's not easily done. So why not start with a judge, or what we call an adjudicator, who already has expertise in patent law or in marital disputes or in trademark law or in securities fraud or whatever the particular dispute is?
Compare that to an arbitration. With an arbitration, are you more likely to find a judge who has background in your area?
Well, arbitration has some similarities because the parties do participate in the selection of their arbitrator. But there are some very, very key differences. In an arbitration, both sides typically are paying their separate counsel to advocate in front of the arbitrator, just like you would in court. And so the cost is high. It's unnecessarily high because both sides are paying their separate attorneys to look at the same law, to look at the same facts, to appear at the same arbitration hearing. And then on top of that, you also must pay a private arbitrator, sometimes three private arbitrators on an arbitration panel, to look at the same law and same facts that both sides' attorneys have separately investigated. The other thing about arbitration, this is a difference between the arbitration system and comprehensive adjudication, which is what my system is called. In an arbitration, the arbitrator can decide the case based on inadmissible evidence, evidence that would not be admitted in a court of law. And it's not a basis for appeal to seek to overturn the arbitration award, the arbitration decision, because the arbitrator considered inadmissible evidence. In fact, in most instances, an appeal from an arbitration decision is impossible. In my system, if you feel that the adjudicator made an error, whether it's considering evidence that should not have been considered, or whether it's some other legal error, you can appeal the adjudicator's decision, not to an appellate court, which takes at least 1 year and often 2 or 3 years, but to a private appellate specialist who will look at the work that the adjudicator did and determine whether there was legal error that requires overturning the adjudicator's decision, and will do that in a matter of months instead of years.
And the last form I wanted to ask you about is mediation.
Mediation is different. Mediation is not a process for deciding who is right and who is wrong. Mediation is a system that's designed to cause the parties to reach a compromise. And as I said earlier, in order for a mediation to work, in order for a settlement to work, both sides have to compromise, including the party that deserves to win. In the court system or in an arbitration, that's often worthwhile because the cost and time required to get to a final decision is far too high. And so what happens is even the party that deserves to win says, you know what, I'll take a little bit less money, or I'll pay more money than I should, because the cost of going forward with a trial or an arbitration proceeding is so high, and the time required and the effort required is so high, that it makes more sense to compromise even though you deserve to win. In my system, that's not the case. We can get this done in half the time, at half the cost, and that's guaranteed. How can I guarantee that? Well, it's just mathematics. This is not, you know, hyperbole. This is not marketing. It's just mathematics and facts. How do I know that? Well, under the regular system, arbitration or mediation or in the public courts, each side has their own attorney. And each side pays their separate attorneys to do the same investigation, look at the same laws, look at the same facts, appear at the same depositions, appear at the same trial, argue, you know, motions before the court, both of them. Here, you have one adjudicator who does the investigation of the law and facts and decides the case. And the parties split the cost of that adjudicator. You can have the best copyright lawyer to decide your copyright case, to do the investigation. You can have the best copyright lawyer in the Bay Area do that investigation and decide your case. And it will cost you half of what it would cost, or less, half of what it would cost, because you're splitting the cost with the other side. That's just the beginning of the cost savings. We start with a 50% savings of cost.
I see the cost advantage, but if you're dealing with the survival of your business, isn't the danger of not getting the right result something that probably overrides the cost difference?
Well, of course, absolutely, you're correct about that. And that's why my system is superior to going to court. Let's say that you have a patent dispute and your business depends on protecting the patent of the innovation that you came up with and is the basis for your entire business. The prospect of getting a poor result, an incorrect result at trial, is devastating, which is why people settle cases. They compromise instead of going through with the process and getting justice. Well, If you have a patent case and the judge that is randomly assigned to your case, and that's how it works, judges are randomly assigned. Let's say that judge specialized in some other type of dispute. Let's say that judge was previously, before being a judge, litigated securities fraud cases. Well, that judge does not necessarily have expertise in patent law. So the risk of getting a bad result and losing your business is extraordinarily high under those circumstances. And the same is true with almost any other dispute. If you have a marital dispute and the judge that you is randomly assigned to your case practiced law in the area of patents, for example, you're not going to have an expert in marital law deciding and investigating your case. Now, it's possible that that judge would do a good job if the judge is diligent and has time to focus on your case. But most judges have dozens, if not hundreds, of cases that they're managing at one time, and they cannot focus on your case exclusively. But a private adjudicator, a comprehensive adjudicator that you have jointly selected with the other side because of that person's neutrality and that person's expertise in the particular area of law, is far, far more likely to decide the case more expertly with superior analysis of the law and the facts that are applicable to this particular area of law. And so the risk of you losing your business because of an improper decision is much, much lower under my system.
One of the things that lawyers are very well aware of, maybe less so others until they get into a dispute, is the amount of time that's spent with things that precede the trial. Whether it's the civil procedure, the depositions, the discovery disputes, the procedural motions, the evidentiary motions, what comes into evidence, getting witnesses ready. How does your system really work with those? How do you keep those costs down? And we have about a minute before we break.
Yeah, that's one of the advantages of our system, is there are no procedural disputes. The only reason that procedural disputes occur in our court system is because you have two adversaries, the lawyers, whose job it is to find some advantage. And if one of the ways that they can get an advantage over the other side is to try and affect the procedure that will be used, the procedures that will be used to both investigate and litigate the case at trial. There are many more procedural disputes and procedural issues in a court trial than we could possibly talk about here. Under my system, there are no procedural disputes. The adjudicator investigates the facts and the law and decides the case. There is no question about how the trial is going to be conducted, about what evidence the parties can produce, what experts can occur, whether it's the right jurisdiction, whether there's proper discovery, whether the scope of a deposition is proper, all the hundreds of different things that lawyers argue about are eliminated under my system. And so in addition to the other cost savings, we save, you start with a 50% reduction because you only have one set of investigators and deciders. By eliminating the procedural disputes and years of procedural battles, you save enormous additional costs.
You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 San Francisco Bay Area. We'll be back right after this.
So a few years ago, my daughter was home for the summer from college, and I learned that one of the things on her bucket list is that she wants to go skydiving one day. And I thought, wow, that makes one of us weirdo, because I have a big fear of heights. I'm uncomfortable on a ladder, let alone like walking off of an airplane voluntarily.
Join us for stories of pursuing that bucket list. That's on the Moth Radio Hour from PRX.
The Moth Radio Hour tonight at 7 o'clock on 91.7 FM, KALW San Francisco. Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. And if you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's Law Referral Service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. You can call 415-989-1616 or visit SF Bar for more information. We now return to Your Legal Rights with host Jeff Hayden on Local Public Radio 91.7 FM and KALW.org, serving the Greater Bay Area.
So I would like to shift gears a little bit. We're basically taking the position that there are some very serious flaws with our public court system and the way that it adjudicates these disputes. And with that in mind, I would like to talk for the bulk of the rest of the hour about what you're proposing and what your system is. Before I get there, I'm curious if it's in my best interest to go to this person that I'm disputing these things with, that I'm really having this argument with. Do I want to go to that person and propose this system? Do I want to talk to this other business that I'm having problems with and propose to them that we go through this means of resolving our dispute?
Well, I think it's very much to your advantage to propose the exploration of a comprehensive adjudication procedure with the other side, no matter what the other side, how they respond. What do I mean by that? Well, first, there's no cost to either side unless and until they agree upon the selection of one of the adjudicator candidates that have been recommended to you. So the way it works is if both parties agree, an adjudication provider will recommend 3, 4, 5 candidates to be your neutral adjudicator. And both sides will participate in joint telephonic or in-person interviews of each of the adjudicator candidates to determine whether they are truly neutral, whether they have the expertise, whether you believe that they can do a good job. Well, proposing to the other side that they explore that with you, knowing that there's really no cost unless and until you agree on the selection of a neutral adjudicator that's been proposed, means that there's really no risk at all in going through that process to see if you can succeed in a process that will cost you half or less and take half or less the amount of time. The other reason why it's useful is that regardless of what your opponent says, you come out ahead. Why? Well, if they agree to the adjudication process, you and they will split the cost of the adjudicator and have half or less the cost of court litigation. And both of you will realize the benefits of saving time and saving risk of an unjust outcome. If the other side says no, then you learn that the other side is likely expecting to lose the ensuing litigation in court. And that's very important intelligence for you to get. Why do I say that? Well, think about it. If the other side really thought that they were going to win this dispute in court, they would want to get that victory at half the cost and in half the amount of time. that's required to pursue that decision they think they're going to get in court. So they would select comprehensive adjudication. The only reason that I can think of why they would not select comprehensive adjudication, or they would decline the opportunity to get the decision they think they deserve at half the in half the time and at half the cost, would be if they thought they were going to lose. And under those circumstances, they want a drawn-out proceeding in court that will cost you a lot of money. But you have the intelligence, you know that it is likely that they expect to lose and that they probably will ultimately settle for something close to what you believe you are entitled to obtain. And so I propose that it is best for you to propose it either way. Now, how does that work? You can either approach your opponent on your own, or if you like, you can reach out to me and I will approach your opponent as a neutral, saying that you are willing to consider a comprehensive adjudication proceeding, to explore it at no cost to either side, to see whether you can agree on the selection of one of the adjudicator expert candidates to investigate and decide your dispute. And if they agree, great. If they don't, I will tell you. But what if they do agree, we will then, your trial will begin immediately, not 3 years down the road, but immediately, because the adjudicator will look at the relevant evidence, will subpoena any documents or other physical evidence that they need to see in order to decide the case, and will take the sworn testimony of all the witnesses, and will do that beginning immediately. Now, in a regular trial in court, first, the lawyers look at all the evidence, both sides' lawyers look at the same evidence, and then they take depositions. This is sworn testimony that is given in usually in the conference room of one of the attorneys of all the witnesses. The judge doesn't see or hear any of that until a trial 3 years down the road. Under our system, that process, what is normally called discovery, finding the documents, taking the testimony of witnesses, is not separate from the trial. It's combined with the trial. So the adjudicator doesn't need to see it twice.
But you said it to my advantage to approach them or have somebody approach them from as a neutral. But if they're a much larger business, they're much better capitalized. Am I not sending them a signal that I can't afford the cost of litigation traditionally? Am I not showing them that I could be taken out with protracted litigation?
Well, if you were to ask me to approach your opponent, what I would tell them is that they are about to be sued in court and it will cost them an enormous amount of money and it will take an enormous amount of time and their resources, their corporate resources. Their employees will be giving depositions instead of doing work. They also will, if they think they're going to win, it is in their best interest, no matter how much money they have, to get the victory that they think they deserve in half the time and at half the cost. Corporations, and I've worked for a number of them as an advocate in court litigation, large corporations complain incessantly about their legal costs, about the resources that's required for litigation. They very much want to save time and money as well. And so when they understand that you're either going to sue them in court, but there's this other option that you're willing to consider along with them, they'll be more inclined to consider it as well if they think they can save time and money. I don't think it's a sign of weakness that you are proposing a system that will save both sides enormous amounts of time and money. And maybe I didn't make that clear, Jeff. Both sides save the same time and the same amounts of money because the cost is half for both. The time is half for both. The risk of an improper decision by a judge that does not have expertise in the particular area of law is reduced for both.
So you've convinced us, you've convinced both sides, this system is better. What do we do next?
Well, what happens, as I said a moment ago, is the trial begins immediately. The adjudicator gets to work. The adjudicator asks the claimant for the contract and the correspondence and the other written evidence that is in the possession of the claimant, and asks the defendant for the same types of materials that are in the possession of the defendant. And then after reviewing the evidence, the physical and documentary evidence, the adjudicator researches the law that's applicable to this particular case. Although they start with expertise in the particular area of law, it's always good to make sure that they've looked at the most recent court precedents.
But I know that they're holding the smoking gun. How do I know they're going to turn it over to them?
Well, it's the same process as occurs in the court. In discovery proceedings in court, each side asks the other side to produce documents that the other side has. The other side, it's improper and illegal, but they can try to withhold those documents if they are so inclined to break the law. And then you argue about it with the judge and in discovery motions that cost enormous amounts of time. So, and then the judge orders one side or the other to produce the documents. It's still possible in a court proceeding for a party to not obey the order of the judge telling them to turn over the documents. That's possible. It's illegal. If it's discovered that they withheld those documents, they will be severely sanctioned. But that can happen in a court proceeding as well. But here's the difference. In my proceeding, if the adjudicator asks you for some documents, there are two reasons for you to turn them over, even if those documents do not show your side in particularly good light. Why? Number one, not only the person that's asking for the documents is not just the attorney for the other side, as it would be in a court proceeding, but it's the judge. It's the person that's going to decide your case. And it is not a good idea ever in any circumstances to antagonize the judge who's going to decide your case.
And just a refresher, because I did get a call a moment ago from a listener who asked me, who is the adjudicator?
Yes, the adjudicator is someone that is jointly selected from a list of candidates that an adjudication provider proposes to both sides.
And is that a lawyer, a practicing lawyer, or is that somebody that's now a neutral?
It could be someone who's a neutral, but I think the best adjudicators are practicing lawyers, litigators. So if you have a property dispute with your neighbor, the best person who is going to be able to uncover the facts for both sides is someone who litigates property disputes, someone who is experienced in cross-examining witnesses on both sides, someone who knows the types of documents that have the evidence that he needs to see in order to decide the case. So that will happen right away.
The other role that seems to be missing in all this is that of the investigator. Does the adjudicator have an investigator or more working with him or her, or do they absorb that role themselves?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I think the best adjudicators are folks that are part of, that are litigators and have a litigation firm. If they have a law firm and they are involved in investigating the law and facts in court for one party or the other, then they have the same resources that they can use when they're acting as a neutral adjudicator to find the law, sort through the evidence. And so having a law firm with a staff in a case that merits a staff that's large enough to merit having a staff is a good idea. Judges don't have that generally available to them. At best, they might have one law clerk that helps them. Here, you have if you select an adjudicator that has an entire law firm behind them, they have paralegals, they have investigators, they have administrative staff that can support the work that they're doing in investigating and deciding the case. The other thing, Jeff, I wanted to mention, the other reason why you wouldn't want to withhold documents or evidence from the adjudicator is that one of the rules of procedure in my comprehensive adjudication system is that if you refuse to produce certain types of documents that are requested by the adjudicator can draw negative inferences from your refusal to do so.
An inference being a presumption that basically if you're hiding the football, the adjudicator can say there's probably a reason you're not turning this stuff over and make the leap?
Yes. So, for example, let's say you have a document that describes what you were doing on the day in question that's in dispute, and you refuse to turn that document over. The adjudicator can say, well, if you don't show me what's in that document, then I have to presume that it shows that what the other side alleges you were doing on the day in question is true. And so you do not benefit from withholding that document from the adjudicator, because the adjudicator will just presume it says what your opponent believes is the truth. So you're better off turning over the document. I always like to say that the adjudicator's imagination of what that document might say is probably worse than what the document actually says. So turn it over. And that's usually what the outcome will be.
So ultimately what it really comes down to, how do I decide which system is better for me in a given situation? I'm facing an adversary that's way bigger than me. I slip and fell in a Safeway, and they say, well, not our fault. We just cleaned that floor 2 minutes before somebody dropped their bottle or whatever. How do I know which direction to go?
Well, what I would suggest is that you contact the attorney that you would have hired if you were going to court, or that you would hire if you decide to go to court instead of going forward with an adjudication, and ask your attorney some questions that will help you decide. First, ask your attorney whether your attorney will tell you in advance, at the very beginning, the total cost that will be required to get to a final decision in the case. Most attorneys, nearly all attorneys, will refuse to do that. At least all honest attorneys will refuse to do that because they don't know. They can't know because they're in a fight with opposing counsel and they don't know what their opposing counsel is going to throw at them or what the court's going to throw at them. So they won't tell you what it's going to cost. But if they do hazard an estimate of what it might cost. Ask them if they will cap it. They will guarantee that the cost will be not one penny more than the number that they're giving you. They won't do it. But if they do, by some chance, say, this won't cost you any more than $200,000, then ask them if they'll cut that cap cost in half. They can't do it, they won't do it, but we can easily do it with a comprehensive adjudication because you're splitting the cost of a single adjudicator with the other side instead of each side paying their separate attorneys to look at the same law, the same evidence, argue the same motions, et cetera. Then ask your attorney if they will, if your attorney will cap the amount of time required to get to a final decision. Is this going to be a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? They won't do it because they can't. There's no way that they can guarantee the amount of time. It's not within their control. But if they do, if they say, oh, it won't take any more than 5 years, then ask them to cut that capped time in half. They can't do that. They won't. We can, for all the reasons that we discussed. The trial begins immediately, not 3 years down the road or 5 years down the road. And then finally, ask your attorney whether you can interview all of the available judges that might be assigned, randomly assigned to your case. And instead of having them randomly assigned, allow you and your opponent to jointly interview them and agree on the one that has the most expertise and is the most neutral for deciding your case. They can't do that because the court system doesn't allow it, but we do. We make it possible for you to decide jointly with the other side to jointly select the person that's going to investigate and decide your case, and that person will have expertise in the particular area of law and will have and will be neutral because you will have interviewed them jointly with the other side to make sure that they are neutral, to make sure that they don't have biases, to ask them whatever questions you want to ask them to make sure that they have no biases. And so I urge you, if you're trying to decide, call your attorney and ask them those three questions. Will you cap the cost at the beginning? Will you cap the amount of time? And will you cut those estimates in half? And will you let, and will I be able to select the judge jointly with the other side based on their expertise and neutrality? Your attorney won't be able to do that. And you may still decide that you want to go forward with litigation in court. But I think that process will help you decide what you want to do.
You're coming in with an entirely different paradigm. After hundreds of years, and even before we had attorneys, you would have somebody, if you got into a dispute with your neighbor, you might have somebody stand up and joust for you because they're big and burly and have the equipment, and hire them to launch that battle on your behalf. As times got more refined, they took different arenas. But the attorneys, you're talking about hiring an attorney to stand up for you, the other side for them, airing it all out in front of somebody. It's the way we've been doing things for hundreds of years. You've come up with a completely different system. Did you invent it out of whole cloth? How did you come up with this?
Well, I came up with it because, frankly, I was dissatisfied with the system that I was a part of for many, many, many years. And so I sat down with a glass of Cabernet Sauvignon and a pad and paper and said to myself, Rick, stop complaining, come up with a better system. And this is what I came up with. It turns out, I later learned that similar systems are already in existence and have been working quite well in other first world economies, you know, in other countries. So for example, in Great Britain, if you have a construction dispute, a construction dispute with a contractor or between contractors. That must be submitted to an adjudication system that's very similar to mine. Why? Because the British learned that when there's a construction dispute, you know, and somebody doesn't get paid, what happens is the construction comes to a halt while the dispute gets resolved, and that's a problem. Under their system, they guarantee that your dispute will be decided quickly, efficiently, and cost effectively, but the quid pro quo, what you're required to do to take advantage of that speedy, cost-efficient system is you have to stay on the job and complete the work. And if the contractor's entitled to more money, the contractor will get his money. If the claimant is entitled to get that work for free, then she will be able to do that. The same way as it would happen in court, except much faster and much less costly. Same thing in other economies. If you have a dispute with a financial institution, a bank, with an insurance company, with a financial advisor, for example, in the Netherlands, there's a system that's actually run by the government called KIFID, K-I-F-I-D, that is a close cousin of the system that I have proposed here in the United States. And again, same thing, a neutral adjudicator is appointed, does the investigation that both sides' attorneys would do instead of each side wasting money having their attorneys duplicate each other's work. And then the adjudicator decides the case and it's done. So it's been tried and true for many, many years in other advanced economies, other democracies that have advanced judicial systems. They recognized before we did that it's better to do it more cost effectively and faster. On the jousting aspect, that's a concern. Some people say, you know, I want a gladiator on my, you know, in my corner to fight for me. So I want an attorney. And that's fine. If you're willing to pay for it and spend the time and resources, you can do that. But in my experience, having a legal gladiator in your corner does not help. Why? Because your gladiator, your attorney, emphasizes to the judge the law and the facts that favor you. And the judge gets your lawyer's spin and emphasis on everything that favors you. And the other side's attorney does the same thing. The other side's attorney provides the spin for them, for his client. And presents all the law and evidence that's favorable to them. So what does the judge get? The judge gets the spin for both sides. That's not a system that leads to justice.
You've been listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM, San Francisco Bay Area. Tonight we've been talking about an entirely new justice system. You can find more information at intelligentjustice.org, intelligentjustice.org. I'd like to thank my guest, Rick Grossman, the founder of Intelligent Justice, and all of you for listening. And at the controls, Damian D. Minor. We'll be back next week, regular time at 6, with our landlord-tenant broadcast. And thanks to all of you for listening. Be safe and zealously guard your legal rights.
Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. And if you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's Law Referral Service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. Call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information.